Well, I appreciate last Sunday, Chris taking care of our Bible study and Tony taking care of the Word. We got to spend the week with Sonny's family in Missouri, and I appreciated a few days off, and we're glad to be back. So, it's good to see you all today. I'm glad that you are here. I am excited because all of our kids are back safely and from camp and had a good time, and I hope that each of you that got to experience that you were drawn deeper and closer to our Father in heaven. And each and every one of us that are here this morning, we ask Him to draw us deeper. And His depths are much greater than what you and I can hold and what we can ask for. So if there is any lack, if there is any need, if there is any shortage, it's not on His part. His blessings are new every morning. So make sure you start that day. Make sure you start tomorrow and whatever day He gives you, just asking Him to fill you with the fullness of His love, of His mercy, of His direction, and of His grace. God's got lots to give. He's given us everything in His Son, and He continues. He continues to give and to pour and to bless. So, this morning, I want us to pray together, and Josh will make all the announcements for us. But as we study the Word together, I do want to lift up number one, Hui's brother has finished his fight, and he has gone home. He's in his rest. And Hui's brother became a preacher down there in Viamo for a long time. So, we think of Hui just going all over Brazil, and he does, but he's been planting churches, and his brother has been one of the ministers at one of those churches. And so that is a church that we are connected to that is without their minister now. And so we're not lifting them up because we don't have hope. We are lifting up a family of believers, our brothers and sisters, that have a hole now that they didn't before. So I want us to remember them. And this morning, I also want us to pray for all of our brothers and sisters that are worshiping this morning in Central Texas. They're getting hit with more storms this morning, and so they are worshiping, and there is surely blood in the offering, but I want to lift them up as well as they join us this morning in spirit and praising God's name. So let's go to our Father together. Our Father in heaven, our souls long after you. You have everything you need. You have given us all that we desire. Father, we praise your name. We praise your name because you are above it all. You are above it all, and yet you love us enough to send Jesus to die for us. Father, may our faith be strong. May our hope be set on you. May we not waver. May we trust you more. Each day and in every situation. Father, search our hearts and find those places that we've been withholding from you. Search our hearts and fill us with your love in those places that we have chosen to remain broken. Search our hearts, Father, so that we may love our neighbor as you love us. Father, today we ask that you be with the body of believers in Viamo. We ask that you bless them with peace. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful for the faithful service that Hui's brother has given. We're grateful for him finishing his race. And we just ask that you watch over our brothers and sisters that are without him now. And we pray, Lord, that you provide what they need, that you continue to provide. Be with Hui and his family right now. Comfort their hearts. And Father, today we want to lift up our brothers and sisters that are singing songs of praise to you through rain and flood and loss in Central Texas. We ask, Father, that we pray, Father, that you are there for them, that they will draw near, that they will find strength in your love, that you will strengthen the hands that search and build and clean and feed. Father, we ask that you be with those that their hearts are hurting right now and the loss is very, very large in front of their eyes. Grant them your peace. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that today as we look at it together, that you plant it in our hearts so that we may be faithful to you and that our faith may be so large that it truly is enough for us to follow in the steps of your early disciples and reach those around us. Please, please make us better at this. Make us better at sharing the good news with the lost. We know you have chosen this way for your truth to be spread with the world. So I pray that each one of us will take our part. We love you. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We offer it in the name of our King, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So it's been a couple weeks, but we took a look at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to continue on with Philip today. Something I want us to recognize and appreciate is the fact that, well, the truth that God meets us where we are at. God meets us where we're at. He found us when we were lost. He found us in our sin and gave us the proclamation of the good news that his Son lived a perfect life and died on the cross, giving his blood and his body for our debt. And our Father in heaven accepted that price and brought him back to life to redeem all of us from our sins. So God met us where we were at. And today what we're going to see is that God can use you wherever you are at to take that good news to somebody else. Because that good news has changed our lives. It has saved us. But that good news also has another purpose. And that good news is to go through us to be shared with others. In Acts chapter 8, in the first part of the chapter, we were following Philip. And Philip went through, and you'll remember that he's going through towns and he's going through Samaria. And he encounters a magician. Someone who has devoted their life to magic and tricks and you know, sorcery and all of these things. And when he encounters the power of God's Holy Spirit, he realizes and recognizes that what he had was nothing compared to what God was providing. And so he gives it up. He gives it up. Now, again, he ran and he stumbled. He stumbled and he wanted to buy that power from the apostles. He said, hey, sell me this stuff because I'd like to have what you have. And they had to straighten him up and say, you better ask God to forgive you because that is not a good thing that you're asking for. This is not something we're charging for, okay? We have received freely and Jesus told us to give freely. So don't think like that. And he turns around, he repents and he says, pray for me. Pray for me. I was wrong. And so we saw Philip go through a lot of towns, talking to big crowds. And we know that God is using persecution to get his good news shared to as many people as possible. Number one, right off the bat, you and I need to be going ding, 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 ding. When God beats me up or allows me to get beat up by life, that is not the time to go. That's our normal reaction. That's not a faithful reaction. That's the flesh reacting. Self-perseverance. Self-protection. Put up the walls. Right? God uses problems and pain and issue to what? Let it go. To trust him enough and say, hey, look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. And so as the church is persecuted and God uses this to take the good news to all these different places, which again, and it depends on how you look at it, sometimes we're just too comfortable where we're at and God says, hey, I need some service done over there. I'm going to get you over there. And I know you're not a big fan of change. And I know you're not a big fan of getting out of your comfort zone. So I'm going to make your comfort zone uncomfortable so that you will move. Church, sometimes God makes us uncomfortable to get us to where he needs us to be. That's the story. So now Philip is led by the Spirit in this second half of Acts chapter 8. He's talking to crowds. He's dealing with big numbers. Now God's going to take him to a deserted place and he's going to face one. He's going to face one. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Acts 8, 26 reads, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. "And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And as he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked him, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And so the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." All right. So the Spirit comes to Philip, and he says, "All right, you're going to go to Gaza. This is a deserted place." So before he's in the towns, he's got big crowds, they're coming to him, it's nice and easy. He can just stand up in front of them and say, "Hey, here's what you need to know about Jesus." But now the Spirit says, "I want you to go to this deserted place." It's a desert place. So if you think about geographically, where Philip is, and sorry, I don't have a map up there. Philip's here, and he's going to go towards Gaza, which is back towards Egypt, okay? because this Ethiopian has been there, he's worshiping, now he's going back home. So Philip is going with him, and again, he is worshiping God, he's worshiping the God of the Bible, he's worshiping the God of the Jews, and God is going to take Philip and say, he needs something else before he gets back home. You need to catch him, and you need to tell him the truth, the good news about Jesus, what God has done. Again, amazing story, and the fact that, what do we take from this? Well, I hope your ears are open, because how many times in our life do we just, number one, we're not open to the Spirit saying, hey, you need to talk to that person. Or we do feel that nudge. We feel that, I should say something, and no, I won't bother him. I mean, Philip's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's running up next to his chariot, just listening. Hey, what are you reading there? I'm reading the prophet. Well, do you understand it? Well, I don't have a teacher here. I'm just reading myself, so how am I going to understand this? Come on up. I love this idea. I love this idea. Why? Because for me and for you, what does it teach me? What does it show me? What do I take from this? Well, first and foremost, church, we have got to be open to the Spirit leading us to the lives of others. And all of us have been there. And all of us have also been that one that said, nah, I'm not going to bother him. Not my place. Or the, I don't know enough. Whatever reason we have found. But it's real simple. It's real simple, Philip started where he was, and he told him the good news of Jesus. Any Christians in here this morning? Oh, good. Some people looked up, got your attention. Do you know the good news of Jesus? You're equipped. Unfortunately, some of us are just out of practice listening to where the Spirit's trying to lead us. And for some of us, and myself included, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying, hey, this is where we are. Unfortunately, we just keep that whole Holy Spirit thing in here. And, well, that's just for me. That's just, you know, to get me right. To get me in the right place. To guide my steps. To take care of my needs. To me. It's all the same thing. It's selfishness. That's what we do. We do. God is so good. I praise His name. I'm not selfish. I'm receiving. Oh, wait a minute. I'm receiving. I mean, I'm lifting him up and I'm praising his name, but he is giving me and he is giving me and he is loving me and including me and making me a part of his kingdom and he has saved me from my sins and he is... Oh, but wait a minute, this isn't going right. So I guess I'll focus on that. Well, that's falling apart, so that needs my attention. And this is hard, so I'm going to be focused here for a while. And the Spirit's saying, hey, there's some people that need to know about Jesus. Some of them over here. Some of them over here. Sometimes it's a crowd. Sometimes it's one. Doesn't matter. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you allowing the Spirit of God guiding your life to bring life? That's what we see in the story. That's what the book of Acts is all about. But church, we're still a part of this. Because God still is using us to be open and willing to say, hey, I can tell someone about Jesus, even from there. Even from there. Now, granted, everyone that you meet on a daily basis, they may not be reading from the prophet Isaiah. So you and I cannot go, okay, Michael, this week, if I encounter someone in a chariot reading Isaiah, I'm going to run right up there and I'll know what to tell them. Okay, all right. Or how about just taking the big lessons of I'm going to be open to where God wants to bring life. I'm going to pay attention to where the Spirit wants to lead me in being a part of all that. And I'm going to listen to where people are. And I'm going to start there. But I'm just like Philip. I still want to get him to that place to hear about Jesus. What if we just took that? What if that was our guide? What if that was how we said, hey, we can still be like we're supposed to be? We encounter people every day, right? You and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I have the gift that God has given us. And you and I know the message about Jesus. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. A couple things in the text. I won't gloss over those. So, this is an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch. This is the part I was worried about. All right, if you're under the age of 13, I need you to go, la, 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 la. Come on, if you're under 13, I need you to la, la, la. La, 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 la. Fingers and ears. All right, if you're over 13, I'm just kidding. A eunuch was someone who served someone very important. Okay? And they had a special procedure done so that they would not get out of line and they were able to focus on their duties. Fair? You like that? if you were one of the la la la's, you just ask today on the way home. You ask your parents, okay? And if you're over 13 and you're still lost, just ask them on the ride home. So, there was a tradition of those who served female royalty to have certain things done to them so that they would not be tempted to have an inappropriate relationship. Okay? That's a eunuch. But this guy's important. He's in charge of the queen's money. All right? And it's also, anybody know where Ethiopia is? Africa. Is the good news going? What did Jesus say? I'm getting it out there. You're going to be a part of this or not? Because it's going. It's going. So that's the guy. Sorry. I just didn't want to. Okay. That's the guy. Philip begins where he's reading. He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. The guy's a little confused. And he says, who's he talking about? And Philip says, oh, I know this answer. I know this answer. And for the most part, okay, for the most part, the encounters that you're going to have with people this week, 99.9% of the time, the correct answer is going to be Jesus, okay? So you're safe. Most of the time. And that's what Philip does. He begins with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. All right. You know what's interesting? And again, I'm just going through the story here. They're going along, and this Ethiopian eunuch's response to hearing about Jesus is, hey, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Yes. Right? What does the good news of Jesus include? The water. It includes the water. It sure does. Now, raise your hand if your Bible had an extra sentence that I did not read. Anybody? Okay, I'm going to read it now. That would be, let's see, go and find verse 37 in Acts chapter 8. Raise your hand when you're there. All right, Tony's got it. Just a couple. Anybody lost? Raise your hand if you're lost. Wait a minute, what'd they do to my Bible? So, verse 37, okay? Check your footnotes. I'll read what the verse is. So, anyway, this is a good lesson in what do you even want to call it? Thank you. That's the word. I have the textual criticism. How we got the Bible, right? Verse 37. Basically, it was not in the oldest transcripts that we have of the New Testament, but it is in some of the transcripts that were found later in the New Testament. So, as we get the King James, they put it in. Okay. So, if you have a King James version, you have verse 37. If you have something else, It's not in the paragraph, but it's probably at the bottom. They're letting you know, hey, this verse, this was in some of the ones that we found. You know, Dead Sea Scrolls, digging up papyrus and all that stuff. This verse was in some of them, but it wasn't in the oldest, so someone may have gone along and just kind of added that in. Okay. Either way, however you want to look at it. Verse 37 reads, and so this would be the response to, hey, what prevents me from being baptized? Verse 37 says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, that verse, whether it's in there or whether it's not in there, remains true, and it is very consistent with the story of Acts, and it's very consistent with everyone that gets baptized. So it's not like something weird, but that's the textual criticism answer is that verse wasn't in some of the oldest books or, you know, not books, scrolls that were found. So that's why it's not in your paragraph, but they give it to you in the footnote. So there it is. But here's the thing. The guy learns about Jesus. He hears the good news. He sees water and he says, hey, why can't I be a part of this? And Philip's answer is, there is no reason that you cannot be a part of this. Church, you are filled with the Spirit of God. You know the good news of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins. And when you share it with other people, there is no reason that they cannot be where you are. If we just took those simple things with us, we will continue what God is doing in changing the world. It's not complicated. It's just sometimes it's kind of scary. We get scared, right? Well, what if I ruin this relationship? Or, you know, what if they're coming in hot because they've had a bad experience with someone or some group or some church and they got their defenses up? Do you care about them? Do you love your neighbor enough to tell them about what saves their soul? Do you want to see them end up in the same place that you are? Let me tell you about Jesus. And nothing prevents you from being where I am. Let's go. That's exciting, isn't it? And you get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of that. We all get to be a part of that. We all get to be a part of that. So, they go down into the water, and as soon as they come out of the water, Spirit of the Lord ushers Philip out. The eunuch doesn't see him anymore, but guess what? His work there was done. He's now a part of God's kingdom. He's now a part of God's family. Someone shared the message of Jesus with me, and hey, I believe that. I trust that that's what God is doing. So let me be baptized for my sins as well. I want to do that. And it's done. He goes about his life. He gets to go back to Africa. And he is praising God. And he is thankful. And he is happy. And he says what? Life has come here. Church, here's the wonderful news when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus. The part that we fear most. Well, I'll let you share it. If you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus, whether they're from a different religion or they have no religion, what is the scariest thing that you can imagine happening if you told someone about Jesus? What's our fear? And you don't have to get in specifics, but what are we afraid of? What? Humiliation? Okay. Anybody else? Do what? Just ignoring you? Okay. All right. We fear their response, do we not? We don't tell enough people about Jesus because we fear how they will respond to it. That's our fear. Good news. That's the one part you're not responsible for. That's the one part that we worry about the most. So I wonder who's putting that in our hearts. Because it's the one thing we can't control. I'm pretty sure the enemy's working in there. Nah, don't say anything. They're not going to listen. That's not good soil. Who do you think is whispering that? Am I listening to the enemy or am I being led by the Spirit of Christ? My definition of faithful needs to be looked at. Am I following where the Spirit of Christ is leading me to bring the good news of Jesus to the lost, or is the enemy getting here and I'm so comfortable with his voice that I just let him determine what my day looks like? Well, I come and sing to Jesus anyway. The one part you and I worry about the most is the one part we are not responsible for: how they respond. Jesus told us a great story, right? Man is spreading seed. And some is good, and some is not. And some people are going to go, woo, and it's going to change their life, and they're going to praise God, and they're going to go back to Africa and share it with everybody. And some people are going to go, oh, wow, I want to be saved. Let's go. I'll get baptized. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, how you doing? They're like, well, whatever. Don't really need it. And some are just going to humiliate you, and some are going to make fun of you, and some are going to go, you're crazy. I don't need that. All of those different responses, that's not our part. Our part is, hey, my life has been changed. God has revealed to me what brings salvation. And I want to share that with you, because I want you to be where I am. Because it's a good place. It's the only place to be. It's the only place that'll last. There is only one name given to us by which we must be saved. And I need to tell you about that. Well, I don't think so. I don't agree with that. Okay. Right? That's not my part. I can't change your heart. I cannot. God works in your heart. I can tell you the truth. Or I cannot tell you the truth. That's all I can do. That's what Philip did. God changed the Ethiopian eunuch. God brought salvation. Give yourselves a break, okay? You are not powerful enough. You are not powerful enough to determine how they're going to respond. But it's not your job. Your job is to tell them about Jesus. Where they're at, tell them about Jesus. But you've got to be willing to tell them about Jesus. And what they do with it, hey, that's on them. And when they say, hey, here's some water, let's go. I love that about the book of Acts, right? Because, you know, we've developed this theology of, uh-oh, I told somebody about Jesus and I got him on the line and let's see what Michael's doing. Michael, help me out, okay? I got a hot one here. No. Just say, let's go. I mean, I'll meet you at the building if you need the body of water. I'll unlock it for you. But let's go. That's how God moves. Let's go. Let's go. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, this is what Ben read for us this morning. John chapter 14, because when we are called to do something very scary to us, it's always good to remember what we already have so that we are willing to be even open to doing those scary things. And so Jesus says to his followers here in John chapter 14, he is getting them ready, okay? He is preparing them to continue the work that he has been doing. He has called them. They were nothing. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were zealots. He just called all these different people and said, hey, your life is going to change. Let's go do this. And they all said, oh, okay. And they just put everything down and they followed him. And now that their life has changed because of their their Koinonia fellowship involvement with Jesus. They're like, hey, we're all in. This is who we are now. This is who we are now. So they're following him and they have seen all this. And here in John chapter 14, Jesus says, hey, things are going to look different. Things are going to change. And he is preparing them for this. He is preparing them for the time where they can't just sit around the campfire and say, hey, Jesus, by the way, which of us is going to have the biggest house in heaven? You know, those important questions that they thought to ask of him when he was right there. Instead, he says, hey, I am going away, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so he promises them what? What does he say he's going to give them? The Spirit. The Spirit. This is not a nothing. This is not a small thing. This is not what we have turned it into. Because we've turned it into something that it's not in the Bible. We look at it and we go, but you know, not anymore. Church, the Spirit is the very thing that Jesus told his followers. It's better. It's going to be better when I'm gone. And what do? We sit here and go, oh, this is horrible. This is awful. I can't wait till Jesus gets here so it'll finally be better. No, he already told them it's going to be better. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. We don't trust it. We don't know. We don't hear his voice. We don't understand his voice. We don't follow his steps. We're not faithful. We just come together, we read the story and go, man, that's a really good story. I'm probably going to feel good for a couple hours today. Things are different, right? Things are different. In John chapter 14, well, I mean, look what he says. In verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You notice how he didn't say, hey, you guys know that I love you, right? Because that's us. Think about your relationships. Think about your children. My children are grown. I will text them. Hey, you do know I love you, right? I mean, I have texted that to my grown boys. Just a reminder. You know that I love you, right? There's none of that. Jesus says, of course you know that I love you. But if you love me, what does it look like? Jesus tells his followers, if you love me, you'll what? What's he tell them? You'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. And in doing so, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. All right. You love me. Do what I tell you to do. And I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to be right. I mean, I'm going to be within shoulder-tapping distance. Dad? Chester wants some Spirit. What do you say? I mean, it's why we pray in Jesus' name, right? You know this, right? The Son is right next to the Father. He says, you ask the Father anything in my name, you're good. You're good. Ask. And we're going to send you another helper. He's going to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of what? What is it? The Spirit of what? What? Thank you. He gives you the Spirit of truth. Church, you have the truth. The very next line, it says, the world doesn't. Look, people are going to argue with you, and they're going to come up with all of these theories and all of these ideas that fly in the face of God and Jesus and all these things. It doesn't matter. You have the truth. You have the truth. There it is. You have it. Others still need it. And you're the thing that gets it to them. The Spirit of truth, the helper that will be with you forever. And then he says in verse 18, hey, look, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So the Spirit's coming to you. Jesus says, I will come to you. I'm not leaving you alone in this. You're not alone. You're not alone. So whose voice do you think that is? You're all alone. You can't do that. That's too scary. He's really going to ask this of you? This may hurt. This may be uncomfortable. Whose voice do you think that is? You know whose it is. Problem is, we listen. We listen. We can listen to the voice of the enemy. Did God really say, come on. We're falling for the same thing. He hasn't had to change his game plan or his playbook. Because it works. Because we go, oh yeah, it might. Oh, I don't know. Is Jesus really with me? I mean, he set me all out there to have this uncomfortable conversation with someone that might get upset with me, or they might not want to be close friends anymore, or or maybe I have the truth and they need to hear it, or maybe Jesus is right there with me at every step and every turn. Maybe he's speaking truth. Maybe the problem has been, I just don't believe it. And then he says in verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Again, It's all about our loving him. He's already proven himself to us. He doesn't have to do anything else. If we listen and do what he says, that's how he knows that we love him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Huh. What's the last thing Stephen saw as he was getting plunked on the head with heavy stones? He saw Jesus, didn't he? They were killing him. He told them about Jesus. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's telling everybody that will listen or that wouldn't listen about Jesus. And they're killing him. And he goes, hey, he's right there. He is right there. I see him. Now, again, if you're the one holding the rock, you're going, man, this guy's crazy. Right? But church, I mean, this is just Michael talking, but come on. If you've never been in a situation where someone in the world thought you were a little crazy, you really being a Christian? They stoned Stephen. They crucified Jesus. I mean, seriously. Stephen said, hey, he's right there. And he's like, look, these rocks, uncomfortable, but I'm okay. Jesus, will you forgive these people? Because they need to be okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm saved. Jesus, these people need to be okay. Will you please, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And apparently today it's taking my life. Whatever it takes, will you please reach them? That's a different way of looking at the people in our lives, isn't it? That's a different way of looking at our enemies. Jesus, will you please reach them? And then he says in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Truth, life, love. You have truth, life, love dwelling in you. Truth, life, love. It's all yours. It's been given to you by Jesus himself. You have the truth. You live forever. And you are loved by the Creator of all things. There's no more looking up at him going, Jesus, how could you put me in this difficult situation? How could you possibly lead me to this trouble? Well, if you've read your Bible, maybe you know I put people in difficult situations so they'll get off their comfortable seats and actually go out and do something for me. You know the hardest thing to do is to get a guy off his seat, right? I don't know, am I the only husband that my wife goes, babe, can you come in here and kill this bug for me in the kitchen? I'm like, babe, I'm already comfortable. I mean, the recliner, it's literally out. Seriously, this can't wait? Is it any wonder that God sometimes needs to put a little discomfort in our lives to say, I need you to do something over here. Quit sitting there so comfortably. Let's go. You and I, we are just creatures of, oh good, there's screens. Right? We just get comfortable. We get comfortable, and sometimes God says, I need you to be a little uncomfortable because I know you. I made you, and I need you to be uncomfortable. Why? So you get up and go do something. And most of us don't realize it till it's too late, right? Because when we sit and we get too comfortable for too long, what happens? Well, now it's just not working as well. Why? Because I had so much comfort. Church, I need you to see this. The purposes that God has for our lives work together with his presence in our lives. We gain all the benefits of his everlasting presence. Those three things we found in John 14, truth, life, and love. And he gains the benefit of your life committed to his purposes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You'll know this one. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you're an underliner, that's probably a good one. I have been crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And church, look, I know that's our daily struggle. Our daily struggle is you and I going, just you know, you and I trying to bring back that dead body of sin with its flesh desires getting in the way of what Jesus wants with our life. That's who we are. It's what we do. We keep trying to resurrect that old life that wasn't life at all, but it was just full of death and sin. And we keep trying to bring it back and make it selfish, and that guide our steps. It's like you and I are walking through this life like Weekend at Bernie's. Just with your leg tied to a corpse, just hauling him along, trying to convince everybody. Look at this guy. He's still alive. No, he's not. You keep him there. I've been crucified with Christ. So it's not me. This is not me. This is Jesus in me. So now, what does that mean? That means the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm not even going to read the other scripture. It was a good one, but we're going to end it right there. I have been crucified with Christ. This is not me. This is Christ living in me. He died so that I could live. He purchased me. He ransomed me. I'm his. So it's probably time that I start getting in the habit of doing what he wants with my life. I mean, at the very least, if you're out of practice or you're new at this, he should probably get 2 out of the 3 votes of what your day looks like. He probably should get 2 out of the 3 votes of what your faith should look like. Now, when you get really good, it's unanimous every time. When you get really good, it's just unanimous. Quit arguing with Jesus about your life. Just get out of the way. Hey, the Spirit wants to take you here. Fantastic, let's go. Who are we meeting? I don't know. Some eunuch from Africa? I have no idea. I'm not in charge of this ship. He is. I would have never have thought to run into that person. I would have never have thought that that person would come to church with me. I would have never have thought that that person would be receptive to Jesus. Who knew? The good news is, I don't have to know. All I got to know is that I've been crucified with Christ. So Christ lives right here. He's not going to leave me. And he's the truth. I got everything I need. I got everything I need. And if for some reason this week they decide to throw rocks at me, all right. If you find yourself in that situation, just look up. You just might see Jesus. So what are we doing, right? What are we doing? I know what we're doing. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to ask for more faith. We're going to ask for more faith. We're going to say, Lord, look, I've been guiding my own steps. I haven't even been looking for your Spirit. I just assumed that wherever I went, yeah, you would just come along. Come along, Jesus. Here we go. Here we go. Come, Jesus. Jesus. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's not what disciples do. Disciples want to be so close to their teacher, they're just looking for his footprints. Jesus bends down and he swipes at the floor. You just want some of the dust on your shoes. I want to be that close. That's what disciples do. That's what disciples do. I want to look like him. I want to smell like him. I want what he has. And church, we have it. We have it. And guess what? He wants everybody else to have it. So he calls us. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for truth, life, and love. We thank you, Father, for meeting us in the chariot that was our lives, and we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know up from down. But you came to us. You came to us, and you told us the good news of Jesus. And we responded in faith, Lord. We trust you with our lives and our souls and everything. We thank you for saving us. And Father, today, we're asking that we'll have fresh eyes and fresh hearts, that we will actually be open to where your Spirit is guiding us, and that we will obey your commands and do what you want us to do. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that our lives are gone in you, and we're grateful that you chose to live in us. We get so much benefit from that, so much peace. And I pray, Father, that we will get out of our own way, quit worrying about the part that's yours, and just share this week the good news of Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen. All right. Jerry's going to lead us in song. We're going to stand together.